Welcome back to The Edge. Forum interactions can now be measured in GA4. Brands are suspending their Twitter ad campaigns after finding their ads along some questionable accounts. Which of these advanced search operators do you already know about? You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of October 3rd, 2022, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web Studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
This is what we're looking at, this is what we're reading, this is what we're sharing, especially on LinkedIn, because you can share very easily with those floaty icons that are in your screen the entire time, right? You can share.
That's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for. Can't really even show a page on the screen if you... yeah. Just sharing is caring. Hey, this is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks, owner of Site Strategics, digital marketing firm here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're covering SEO and digital marketing news of the week, separate from our weekly interview series, so we can get more news to you out even more quickly. Check out everything over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. This is the Site Strategics Digital Marketing News Desk of Edge of the Web. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of Edge. Our digital marketing team is excellent at results-based agile marketing. We're going to talk a little bit more about what we do in the show, but check us out over at sitestrategics.com. And if you want to talk to us, oh boy, the last time I did this, Morty started to chat with us while we were doing the show. So go over there and give us a phone call, give us a fax, whatever you want to do, but don't chat during the show because we're going to think you're Morty. The same. Anyway, joining me on the show is Morty Oberstein. Morty, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great.
You're chatting with us now, aren't you?
I am indeed. I am here.
Morty Oberstein. Okay? Yeah, that's what we brought you on for, to chat. So just don't go to the website and chat because that's a thing. Now the team here at Site is actually betting on whether or not you're actually going to try to do that while you're recording.
No, I think I've already put, I'm trying to think, like, are there any possible new shenanigans? Like, I've already tried to do a chat on the website.
Yeah, in fact.
Try to call the show live and ended up being a fax number.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I'll think of something.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Yeah. Try to be
instant. Not now.
He's not going to give the game up. He's got to plan his next tactic there. That is Morty Oberstein. He's the head of SEO branding over at Wix. What's happening?
And also the co-host of the SERPs Up podcast.
Yes, you are. That's right. Oh, I got to throw that one in there now from now on.
Yep.
Nice. By the way, nice podcast. Very, very.
Yes. Produced by Edge Media Studios.
You got it right.
Close enough?
You got it actually right. It's amazing.
I got it right?
You did.
I got it right? That was not our purpose.
It only took 7 episodes.
It's amazing. We still don't have a link.
What are you talking about? I told Bar to give you a link. Bar, give him a link, man.
We don't have a link. We'll give you a link. We'll give you a link as soon as we get a link. Come on.
Wait, you didn't give me a link either then?
Not yet. No, because we don't have a link.
Hope Google's not listening to this.
Reciprocal links? No, that's not a thing. So what's happening in your world, man?
A lot of holidays. It's holiday season for us Jewish people.
Yeah, I know. Having some good quality time with the family and the folks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, not the folks. You know.
Not the
folks. No, we don't talk to them. Okay. But on my family, yes.
I'm glad I'm bringing this up during the podcast.
It's Jewish holiday time. It's like Thanksgiving, but way more neurotic.
Wix is doing well. Anything new in the Wix side of things?
Oh, you know, we integrated with SEMrush, which I've hinted
on
this podcast.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, exactly. That's so unpack that quickly for
big
us.
Big stuff, dude.
I know. That was huge. It's huge news. And I wanted to at least park it for a minute. What are you doing with SEMrush? Not that you know both of those companies, but.
No, I feel like my two worlds have combined.
They really have. So what do they know? You've got some great keyword data being integrated in, right?
Yeah, it's the keyword research stuff inside of inside of Wix.
Very cool. Very cool. So it actually gives you some input on the different keywords based
search
on your intent.
Volume, trends, keyword difficulty, intent. If you already have a SEMrush account, you can use it endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it as part of our SEO checklist that we try to, you know, have for people who don't know SEO.
Cool.
Try to get them to do those foundational tasks. And it's there to help them focus their website, sort of to democratize SEO. This way, if you're SMB or you're a business owner, you're an SME, or if you're an enterprise site and you're just trying to do your own SEO there, if you're trying to bring focus to your website, we have a SEO setup checklist and to help you bring focus about what topic you should focus on. So if you're, I don't know, you sell orthotic shoes for children, mm-hmm. you don't try to rank for shoes or create content about shoes, but you actually focus on shoes for kids or orthotics for kids for their shoes, whatever it is. So we have the SEMrush data in there. Cool. So that you can refine your focus. But if you want to, you can just use it for your just research keyword research. For blah. Yeah. And you don't have to use it as part of the checklist. You can just use it. You have 10 free uses every day.
Is there a save function where you can actually save some of these keywords as well? As it
you
applies?
Save them to your, yeah, kind of. You can save them to your setup checklist. So that would kind of be using it sort of like a hack.
Got it.
You could save the keywords if you're doing the SEO setup checklist inside of Wix.
Right.
You could save the keywords so that we know, hey, okay, so for your homepage, you probably want to have one of those keywords in the title tag.
Yep.
Very good. That's why we have the save functionality so that we can tell you put one of those in the title tag kind of thing. Because again, mm-hmm. we're trying to do very basic foundational SEO for people who don't know SEO. But I guess you can just kind of make a list and just leave it there.
Yeah, you can pull that out. I mean, it's a great tool, and we certainly applaud the relationship. That's the kind of thing that you guys are doing regularly. You actually connected with DeepCrawl as well.
Now it's called Loomer. We're the first CMS to pull in the Search Console's site inspection, URL inspection tool mm-hmm. API. So a lot of big stuff. More. Tease, I guess, more Search Console data is coming.
Very good. All right. Well, make sure I've got to start pulling some SEMrush data into our MortyOverstonRingtone.com site. That's on. That's actually on the Wix platform. So I got to start expanding my content around there because now we're in a competition to actually rank for Morty Oberstein, right? So we got that thing
it's
out of
a race.
It is a race. So let's see if we can start.
I'm ranking on my trolling site for Barry Schwartz SEO.
Good job. So we got to do this for Morty. We have to start putting some exposés and some long tomes of Morty insight. Dive into some of the transcripts we've got here and start publishing on Morty Oberstein ringtone.com.
Right, be careful of that.
You know, we've got the Morty Oberstein ringtone, but what we don't have is Morty Oberstein reading your outgoing message. We should make that a prize.
Cameos!
For something. Or we get him on Cameo.
Yeah, like Mr. T, we can do cameos.
And he'll do them for socks because we know that's where that's his payment.
Right? I love socks.
We got to do it.
If we could get a ranting Morty talking about you've reached so-and-so's voicemail.
Yep.
For socks. It's great. I'm in.
I think so. It might be a very small amount of clientele there, but they would all love that outgoing message by Morty Oberstein.
Yeah. Can you give us a sample, Morty?
That's right. Sorry, inside, I got to check out the Morty Oberstein ringtone.com to get that. We have
to. Put it in the show notes.
Let's put it in the show notes. All right. For everybody who's here for the news, let's go into our first article from Search Engine Land by Nicole Farley. Hey, GA4 now has an enhanced measurement option for form interactions. Google has actually added a new enhanced measurement option for their form pieces, the data stream coming through. Now you can not only see when a form has been submitted, but you can also see when that person or that user started the form. That's actually pretty darn cool because what we're seeing here is this is building while it's going in. Obviously, we've been told to move into GA4. Universal Analytics will be sunset in July of next year. And there's a few of us out there that were really wanting to see a little bit more foundational pieces in place for GA4, but they're kind of building it as they're going. It's actually great to be able to see these new enhancements coming through because previously, I mean, months ago, we didn't even see the migration of old goals and events into GA4. Now we're seeing all that readily available, kind of. And this thing is I think, going to be a fantastic thing to be able to see the interaction of the forms when they get started. That's going to give you some feedback on how quickly the people actually process a form or if they stall during that. So it's a start process and ultimately a mini funnel at the form level. What do you think about this, Morty, the type of analytic enhancements that are starting to pop up inside of GA4?
Well, that's great. And my only question is, like, how many steps do you need in order to get access to it? Is it like a 400-step process just to get the data?
I don't know.
I wouldn't know because I can't figure GA4 out for the life of me.
Well, I mean, Jacob has been working on GA4 for a little while here. And what do you think, Jacob? Would that be readily available?
I haven't looked at that one yet. Sure. My guess is based on other things, Morty's right. It's probably like a 2,000-word blog post somewhere that explains how to do it. It'll take a few clicks.
Like,
but
I'm not saying, like, don't get me wrong. Like, they have a lot of the information readily available in the reports. And I get the whole, like, you know, start a new exploration thing. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It is. And you have to save these dashboards, and those dashboard profiles don't cross over to other profiles. You have to rebuild them all. It'd be great to be able to have those type of templates that you can use at the account base level to be able to have an entire new screen for all of your lead gen widgets in one fell swoop. And hopefully it'll get there.
I think so.
I hope so.
GA4 reminds me of the first time I used Photoshop. Just overwhelmed with how much it can do and how much I just don't get and how much I have to read and look at examples and screenshots and videos to understand how to do something that, now that I do it on the regular basis, really isn't that difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think GA4 is going to be the same thing. You just keep setting them up, it'll start to make sense. But,
it's probably
going to be tough.
I would agree with you. But you know what's not tough? Working with Site Strategics. We're proud to have Site Strategics as a title sponsor of... That was so corny, I had to go with it.
Title sponsor of... It's damn near tough. It's damn near impossible.
All right. Well, we're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are technical SEO, search engine marketing, social media marketing, as well as focused on conversion rate optimization. That's why we're kind of excited about the GA4 lead gen piece there. We're focused on results-based marketing. And I mean, that's what really should be marketing in general, right? Results-based marketing. We also have developed a unique omni-channel media marketing and content curation process. In fact, we actually did one just last week with one of the C-levels from one of our clients. We actually had a 2.5-hour session. Yeah. Think about talking to me for 2.5 hours. But I actually went through an entire scripted process and really learned so much about our client during that period of time. And everything's pulled from great research that our team pulls together. So it was very insightful what we were able to get into and understand about the mission and the values of our client. So anyway, we incorporate the best techniques for content broadcast strategy and execution. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call over at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Second article, let's lock and load this puppy real quick. Over search engine land from the aforementioned Nicole Farley as well. 30-plus brands suspend their Twitter marketing campaigns after finding their ads were next to child pornography accounts. Some of the most popular brands on Twitter have actually paused their Twitter marketing campaigns, period, after discovering their ads actually appeared alongside those type of accounts. Affected brands, there were reportedly more than 30 brands that appeared on the profile pages of Twitter accounts peddling links to exploitative material. Now, whole thing, first and foremost, why the hell are those things even on Twitter? I mean, come on. But as soon as they found out, I mean, among these brands are a Children's Hospital and PBS Kids, Dyson, Mazda, Forbes, Walt Disney, NBC Universal, Coca-Cola, Cole Haan, all stopped their marketing campaigns right then and there. Twitter hasn't given any answers as to why that may have happened to cause the issue, but Reuters review found some tweets included teens related to a lot of terms that we're not going to mention on the show. You can go read the article. They're alongside promoted tweets from corporate advertisers. And one example, now I just won't even dig into some of the references there. Check out the article, understand it's very unfortunate, but at the same time, it's very good to see those brands immediately pause everything. It really does give you a pause on what in the world's going on in Twitter. This is all public-facing content. Why this, at this moment in time, would those links even be in the ecosystem on Twitter? For everything that they've been going through, this should have been a no-brainer to be able to keep taking off those offending accounts. But I know it's tough, but at the same time, that's part of what your job and responsibility is. Morty, I don't know if there's anything else to say there, but
there's nothing to say about that. I mean, it's just terrible. It's ridiculous. And then these brands get stuck there. And then what happens is people say, oh, whatever brand like How could you put ads there? Is it the brand decide consciously decided to put their ads there?
Right. Oh yeah. And that's the public, public misconception of that they have some sort of association there. No, I mean,
everyone magically forgets how it all works.
Right.
For some reason,
there's
and it's a giant mess. And I don't understand how we're like, you know, remember years ago, remember the Guardian pulled all their ads off of YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhat
yeah.
similar to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was years ago. We're like, we're still dealing with this.
We're still dealing with this ongoing issue. A cybersecurity group called Ghost Data identified more than 500 accounts that have openly shared or requested this type of material over a 20-day period of time. Twitter failed to remove 70% of those accounts. And after Reuters shared a sample of the explicit account for Twitter, Twitter then removed 300 additional accounts but left more than 100 active. That's their job.
If AI is writing somewhat decent content,
right,
then you can have AI detect this stuff and at a minimum absolutely. Shut an account down long enough for a human to review it and be like, yeah, this shouldn't be here. Like, right. there's no reason in this 2022
right.
that any of that content should exist online for more than a few minutes. It doesn't make any sense.
There's a lot of code words, obviously, a lot of things that can miss those type of filters, but you can educate the AI system to be able to pick those up. And again, put them in the timeout to be able to at least evaluate what in the world is going on there,
sure.
right? There's no, you give no safe harbor for this type of stuff, and whatever the freedom of speech arguments there are, this stuff cannot be part of that.
Nope.
Great to see these other factions, these other platforms having that type of reporting, but for a mainstream social media platform that is getting this wrong on a regular basis, they got to have some internal insight and fix those problems and be publicly disclosing what they're doing right now to be able to purchase out of the system. There's no place for that anymore. All right. From search engine land, but John Clark, check this out. There are 19 advanced search engine search operators that you should know. And we wanted to bring this around to you guys because this is pretty cool. If you're looking to enhance your search engine marketing efforts, you need to know some advanced search operators. And this is kind of a more you know type of thing as opposed to a hot ticket item. But you know what? Every once in a while, we do want to pull the news car around and check out something that you may not know about when it comes down to search operators. Now, what that is, so an operator have how you can actually adjust a query to be able to find something a little bit different in Google search as well as other search platforms. You merely need to use this search operator to actually drop it in directly into the Google search box in the same manner that you do for any type of text query, right? So I'm gonna actually have you guys kind of contribute in here and take a couple swings at some of these operators here. Some of them may be very familiar with you, listeners, but at the same time, there's a couple cool things in here. First and foremost, I'll take the easy one. Site:, right? It's an advanced search operator, but if you've never used this before, site:, and then your domain, right? So like site:, youtube.com or site:, wikipedia.org, you're going to be able to see a slew of search content that's hosted, right? By that domain. Is it everything that's known of that domain? No, it's everything that's indexed. Correct, Morty? That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, everything is indexed. You can't pull it up. It's not indexed.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's everything that Google knows. So go use it for your own domain, site:, and be able to see everything that you currently have indexed. And on top of that, cache:, actually uses the most recent cache version of your website. So you can actually go down to a specific index URL. Cache:, will be able to do that. Now, here's what the cool things are. Related:, right? You can use the search operator to find websites that are related to the site in question. So tell me about this. What's the relationship quotient here that we're talking about here, Morty?
It's, you know, let's say you put in like Apple, so you'll get back like, I don't know, Microsoft, IBM, or whatever it is, but you're getting back sites that are related to the one you're looking at. So it's basically your competitors.
Exactly. You're seeing how Google's categorizing your site as it applies to the competition, right? It's incredibly valuable to be able to see how, if you're working on different clients.
Yeah, say how Google understands you relative to like, if Google thinks that X site is your competitor and it's really not your competitor, like that, so you have a problem with how Google understands you.
That's it right there. That's right. So
or your competitor.
Inwardly focused on anchor text, searching in anchor, I-N, anchor, all one word, colon, and then a name or a brand name or what have you. Like, for example, Morty Oberstein, right?
Oh, look at that. Wow.
In Anchor is going to be showing a heck of a lot of stuff there. And hey, what we got there? We got MortyOberstein.com.
1,320 results for Morty's name.
Wow. So he's been like Johnny Appleseed, just throwing his name around everywhere, right?
I have a whole link farm going on.
So why is that important to actually see the particular word usage in Anchor? Anyone?
It's all right.
Anyone? Well, you want to see how many references to your brand are actually outside there. If you want to find a page on a website that includes a specific word in the URL itself, survey says in your URL, that's INURL, colon, and you'll be able to see that. Any others that you found interesting?
You can see how the web is relating to you, which is nice.
Exactly. You have all in URL, which is a little bit different, and refines the search, the in URL, by returning only the results that include all of the defined words in title, as well as something that you can actually do some deep diving into in title. So in title,
now we're down to 413
that have Morty Oberstein in the search results. Yeah, go ahead and do that yourself. In title, colon, Morty Oberstein. You can see everything we're doing right here. Or check out the video. In text, here it is. So in text, how many references does Morty actually have in text?
Oh, yeah, you guys give me your guess before I pull it up on the screen.
I'll say 336,000.
336,000?
He talks a lot.
And then Morty?
Oh, I don't know, 5,000.
Okay. It's 24,000.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
All right, so here's something I didn't know around... And then parenthetical. So if you use the around X command, right, that'll account for word proximity by limiting your results to pages that feature the search words within X number of words of one another. So if you're looking for a phrase, right, or looking to see whether or not that phrase has some traction in the index, be able to see a parameter phrase of around 10, right, for example, or around 3, and then put a... But hey, do this. Around 3, Morty Oberstein ringtone, right?
I did Aaron around 6, Morty, but...
Huh.
There you go.
That's weird. All right, so Twitter's
coming
up.
The pictures aren't... Pictures. Well, I mean, there's some surfed up
there's
pictures
some weird
there.
Pictures there. There's some
wedding.
Some ladies getting married. But then the links, though.
I don't know that person.
Twitter, Facebook.
No, wait, go back up.
The site's on the right-hand side there, right?
There you go.
No, okay. What are all the other images? That's weird.
It's probably some Aaron who married a different Morty. I'm not married to an Aaron, so.
Yep. Thank God.
Could be.
Feels like it, though, sometimes, right? All right. So file type's another one. Another modifier there that you can actually throw in there. File type, colon, PPP. So if you're, and in this example, it was SEO, file type, colon, PPP. Or what you could do is file type, colon, MP3, Morty Oberstein. Do that.
There you go. Podcast episodes. That's good. You can find presentations.
You can.
Decks.
Flash files.
See how many websites still have a flash intro?
You can also do date ranges.
They're coming back.
Yeah, they are coming back. Flash is coming back. Remember GaboCorp? GaboCorp from the... I mean, this is the first time that Flash was really on deck. It was like the preeminent demonstration of how to do Flash navigation. It was amazing.
Okay.
No. This is back in the aught years, actually before 2000, there was GaboCorp. Nice. GABO. Gotta check that out. All right.
Great.
Check out a few other things there. And obviously, you can type in keywords, parentheticals, as well as quotes for exact search strings. Check them all out. You can also negatively filter certain keywords. So a great laundry list. It was refreshing to actually go back through this and say, oh, wow, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Every time, like, wow, I totally forgot about that one. I totally forgot about that one.
And you can do combining these different search operators together. And you can also use different cases.
So I do it all the time. I do a site search and you add a keyword. Yeah. So you fill in, like, you know, I do a Barry set all the time.
No, see, there you go. Nice little The More You Know for search operators. And thank you very much for that fantastic article. And that was John Clark over at Search Engine Land. All right. So we are proud to have NLinks as a sponsor of Edge of the Web. Did you know that entities play a major role in how search engines understand and rank content on the web? Optimizing your content solely around keywords is a thing of the past. It's time to add entities into your site content by using InLinks, an award-winning software in entity SEO, provides some expert level data on how to build your content around keywords. They also have some great keyword research tools that are focused on pivotal intent verbiage, transition verbs, and what have you. So check that out. Some great understanding of what type of intent users have with their search queries, and that will help you lead to what type of content you really need on your website. So go over to agilethewebradio.com/InLinks today to claim your free InLinks account and start creating content that will outperform your competitors. All right. So we got through the three articles there, and we got a fast track that we always do for Barry's content because it's such a consumable. We got to get through as many as we can over there. So over at Barry Swartz's site search engine roundtable, we're off to article number one, which is Google's testing things to know on the right search panel. So what we've had it on the left before, and it actually showed up, I believe, in September 2021. Google's testing the placement of things to know section on the right side panel. Typically, you find these things in the main search results, in the middle portion of the search results, the left rail, so to speak. This was first spotted by Punit on Twitter, and he can actually replicate that on some of the browsers here. So things to know on the right-hand side. So what do we talk about the real estate of the SERP? Well, you're seeing Google testing on a regular basis, different factors, different areas of the screen to be able to actually get that engagement going and be more and more useful in, you know, line of sight type of interaction on the SERP itself. There's so many different pieces that they're testing. I mean, my gosh, just on the SERP itself. How many elements? We're talking hundreds of that they test in different factors across the world. This one, we've seen things to know for a while now. This has actually been one of the most valuable kind of rich featured assets on the SERP. You want to talk about that, Morty? Give us an intake or input on that
one. It's one of those like really nice breakdowns. It's like kind of similar to what we'll talk to, I guess, about in a minute, in the next story.
Yeah.
They have like, you know, buying guides coming to the SERP, but it kind of breaks down a topic into subtopics. It's a nice way to Google's parsing out to give the user more specific information on the SERP, which kind of is a theme, I think, in what's going on in the SERP over the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, maybe less, where Google's trying to take your top-level query and give you kind of what you really want, even though you didn't really search for it, by refining it and breaking things down to smaller subtopics.
It's really making a mini website for your query right then and there. Feature stimps are fantastic. PAAs are fantastic. To continually build upon your query, however, right, and taking you to different areas that you should know about that. That's that next space of predictive knowledge.
Immersive layered experience.
Absolutely. It's getting better and better, especially on the mobile side of things. I mean, it's some pretty cool stuff that they're experimenting with on the mobile side.
Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff happening. Especially you scroll down, it's infinite scroll, so Google feels that they can do a lot of stuff. Which is one of the things that's another thing in the next story.
Well, the next story is actually Google really wants you to avoid changing your URLs just for SEO.
That's not the next story. Fine. Sorry.
He kept on scrolling, didn't he? Google's John Mueller has put down some strong language against changing your URLs for SEO reasons alone. He basically said, in most cases, changing the URLs will have a negative impact on SEO and that you should probably not change URLs just for those reasons. This came in two different sites, one on Reddit and the other on Twitter. Over the course of the same 24-hour period, John wrote on Reddit, if you're an SEO and billing by the hour to implement this change, it'll help your bottom line. Will it help the site? Very, very rarely. If they have terrible URLs that you can't even copy and paste, maybe. Will a change negatively affect the site for a while until it's reprocessed? Probably. Some risk plus usually no gain. And then he also wrote on Twitter, if you change your URLs, you should do redirects per page. There's no maximum number of redirects per site. Also, likely you're shooting yourself in the foot for a while with no visible gains. So, again, it gets down to if you're trying to restructure URLs, trying to work the SEO angle, right, either from word slugging or restructuring from a site architecture, arguably, if you're trying to actually create a better index, or I should say a better categorization and relying just on the URLs to do it, that's not the game. But have you seen anything really go exceptionally advantageous whenever you change those URLs around, Morty?
No, not particularly. You always run the risk of things getting screwed up when you change a URL. I kind of feel like, you know, SEOs sort of think of URLs very linearly. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, canonicalization or keywords in the URLs and, you know, indexation of URLs. But URLs fundamentally, I think, maybe I'm wrong, are for users. So, for example, your URL structure, make it so that a user can really easily understand, oh yeah, this makes sense why where I am right now. If you mm-hmm. imagine you have a blog, so the URL is yoursite.com/blog, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
If you just set up your URL to be something like that, like the date in the URL for the blog post first, like what, why are these numbers there? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know, where am I?
Right. So it's much more of a handrail for the users. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you have to be careful. Like, you know, so don't think, if you think of your URL as being, you know, not just for bots to be read, but for users to use and experience, and it has to make sense and it has to be stable and it has to be consistent, I think you'll be less likely to start changing things willy-nilly just for some weird SEO reason.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is a comment on Barry's article about 3 days ago. This guy, Luciano Borg, he said, John should have really stuck to his usual "it depends." He said he worked up a site that had no structure at all, no second or third tier URLs. Everything was top tier with numbers, not words. Yes, of course, we optimized other factors, but the result after optimization was a 75% increase in organic traffic. What were those other factors, by the way? I mean, there's no test. There's no optimization campaign where you're just sticking with URLs and that's it. And then you're going to demonstrate a 75% yield on organic. Sorry, but I mean, to the point. I mean, there's arguably some things, but it usually brings a number of other SEO factors into play there. All right. You want to talk about some stuff? Let's talk about some stuff. Not a problem. All the Google announcements from Search On 2022 over at Search Engine Roundtable. Oh, my gosh. There's no way we can go over all this. And you're going to have to give me a hand here, Morty. There are so many things. The Google Search On event that was, when was that? That was on the 28th.
Last week.
Yeah, last week. And in case you missed it, go over there because there's a lot of great links on that page over at Search Roundtable itself, right? Starting off, multi-search. What is multi-search to begin with, Morty?
The MUM, right? That's the advent of MUM into the algorithm.
It is here.
That's where it's been expressed so far outside of a few other cases. But fine, like, you know, you're looking at a motorcycle. You have a motorcycle. I have no idea. And it's broken and you don't know, you know, the piece that's broken, but you don't know what it's called.
Right.
So you take a picture of it on Google Lens and you type in, here's the multi-modes, so it's image and text, how to fix this. And Google's like, dummy, it's called a carburetor. And here's a bunch of results, how to fix it.
And
I
pictures.
Don't know if motorcycles have a carburetor or not.
Yes, they do. Some of them do.
Okay, great. And then I'm not a dummy.
But it'll give you videos, give you audio, it'll give you text, it'll give you images, it'll give you a lot. This is
super cool.
Super cool. So now it's expanding to 70 languages, not just English. Multi-search near me is launching finally in the U.S. and in English U.S. So that's even
right. So you can take a picture of a dish, like, oh, find this near me. Not like a dish, like a plate. I mean, like something you like to eat.
Right.
You're like, oh, I totally botched this. I don't know how to cook. Find near me.
Boom.
You can go to a restaurant that knows how to cook it.
As long as there's a...
As like you think whatever you did like semi-resembles it.
I was just going to say, are you saying I can take a picture of my failed attempt to cook something and Google will be... All right, let me fix this for you.
It depends how failed you are.
Here's some fried Spam that looks like jelly.
Yes.
Find me some fried Spam that actually looks like fried Spam. If you've never had fried Spam, by the way.
Oh, it's so good.
It is. As long as you eat it for a period of time and not leave it in the fridge.
Don't leave it in the fridge for 3 months.
Oh, okay. Some other things. Google Lens.
I missed the story here.
Yeah, exactly. I think we kind of went off topic there. Google Lens Translate overlay is actually much cleaner now. The Google iOS apps app adds shortcuts. There's many more visual knowledge panels. Google Search adds filters to search toolbar. Let's see here. Explore as you scroll is actually going to be rolling out. Anything else that jumped at you, Morty?
Yeah, there's all like the shopping stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the personalization and the shopping. So if you like a particular brand, yep. Google's like, oh, you like this brand. Well, personalized, you only see results for this brand. Or you only like, you know, you search for pants, but you only want kids pants because you don't need pants, but you need pants for your kids. And Google will continue showing only results the next time you search for kids pants. You can obviously undo that personalization setting. There's going to be buying guides. There's going to be page insights. So you search for buy a mountain bike and you click on a page on the Google app, you'll be able to see insights related to that product. So other information, ancillary information about that product. So you can see, okay, they're selling me this bike. Like, what do I need to know about it? Maybe reviews are different kinds of bikes. And all sorts of information when you're working from the app and you're looking at the page. I mean, on the SERP, at the page. A lot of cool stuff. My big takeaway from all this was, if you look at the language, Google, forget the bells and whistles on the shiny cool stuff. By the way, you mentioned Google Lens, using that to translate images that I've done. Yep. Is awesome. It's awesome. Forget all the cool, shiny things. Google, when they spoke about, released these things, kept talking about making search more intuitive, making it more immersive, making it funner, meaning the way people search is vastly different. In other words, what I think we're starting to see is Google realizing that what people want out of search is not being satisfied. They're looking for different kinds of ways of searching. They're expecting a different kind of search experience. And Google is basically saying, yeah, when Google keeps saying over and over, go watch the search on video. You can find it on YouTube. They said it at least four or five times, a more intuitive, funner way of searching. Meaning the user is looking for a more immersive, layered, intuitive search experience. And the way the SERP is set up now doesn't do that. And this is Google starting to try to do that with all these kind of layered options within search or even beyond the actual SERP itself.
That's an incredible insight there. I think we're already being trained.
Here.
we're already being trained. There's a heck of a lot of mobile engagement factors. That's what we were talking in the previous article. But this
that's why I brought that up.
I know you did. So I'm just giving you a throwback there, right? But
sorry.
The environment is truly shifting, and they're actually moving ahead of us and saying, you know what, it's going to shift even more. So it's not only that the users are looking for, the users aren't satisfied. It's that they're training us on a whole new set of interactive elements, and they're now actually setting their eyes on even a further horizon that they're going to train us on. So I don't know.
I agree.
Go ahead.
And I disagree.
Okay, fine.
I agree for people like us, because we're old. They're training us. I agree. We've been using search forever. We're used to searching the old way. But I think young people, those youngsters out there, the whippersnappers, they're coming to search with a whole set of different, I'll call it bias or expectations or latent associations to what their web experience should be like.
I got you.
And they're looking at what we're looking at, the same server. We're like, wow, this is so different. They're like, this is so like not what I'm looking for.
I'm with you.
No. Unconsciously.
All right.
Get off my SERP.
Get off my lawn.
You damn whippersnappers. All right. Yeah, I think you're probably
get
right.
Get off my SERP. I want the old Google back.
GetoffmysERP.com. All right. We got to go do that now.
No, boy.
I'll give you a Wix site.
There we go. Got to make a new Wix site. All right. Hey,
I'm covered here.
SEO chat, hashtag SEO chat on Twitter every 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. Who you got?
I'm on the spot now. Yeah. I'm on the spot now.
Okay.
Because Nicole Ponce booked this person. I didn't book them. Just so you know, Nicole Ponce over at Semrush, she's amazing. She's awesome. I was going to sort of stop. I think I've mentioned on this podcast, like, I couldn't figure out how to keep up with SEO chat.
Got it.
It was like I needed to give something up. I was going to give up my SEO chat because I can't balance it all. And she stepped in and she's helping to run it. And this is the first week she actually booked the guest. So I don't know who it is. Give me a second. I'm checking the spreadsheet. Ah, it's Jeremy Moser.
Jeremy Moser's on deck.
Yes.
All right. We'll hang it right there.
I don't know what. I don't know.
It's okay.
I apologize for the lack of graphics. I can't. I'm not that fast.
It's not me. It's not me.
No. I'm not running. It's also not me.
It's not my show anymore.
Get off my SERP.
All right. Well, certainly pay attention to hashtag SEO chat.
Maybe Nicole tweeted it. Hold on. Let's check Nicole's Twitter feed.
I'm just going to pedal here for a while. If you want to check out SEO chat, it's okay. Good. It's a great place to meet your friends.
Be there.
All right. That's it for Edge. Thank you so much, Morty. Appreciate it. Any final words that you want to throw at our audience there?
Sir.
Oh, there it is.
Up.
See? I was waiting for it. Go check it out. Great show over there at Surf's Up. And episode seven is dropping.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're welcome. You're right. I gotta play that one up. All right. Good episode, though. Check it out. Hey, check out our Olga Zarzeshna episode that we have coming up. Olga's awesome, and we got all the Olgas for October. It's what I say.
I think it's Olgatober.
Olgatober. That's what we got.
Olgatober. Three episodes.
Yeah, there we go. See?
Most guests get two.
Oh, really? The three episodes of Olga?
Yeah. Oh, yep, absolutely. There was so much.
I'm trying to get her to write for the Wix Hub. She's awesome.
Yeah, she'll get there. Yeah, she's doing a lot. She's doing a huge amount on her podcast as well. That's rolling out, as well as her YouTube channel. So kudos to her for that. So check out the first episode of our Olga Threefecta interview there, as opposed to Trifecta.
Yeah. Anyway. Now you're just making up words that don't need to be made up.
All words are made up.
Well, that's fair.
All right, that's it for The Edge. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for staying along. Oh, my gosh, we're 43 minutes into this. What the hell were we thinking?
What the hell happened? Okay.
That's a time warp. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel as we throw out a number of different key videos and snackable things in that space. And, hey, if you're feeling up to it, if you're here this long, you must like us. Go over to ratethispodcast.com/edge today. Give us a quick rating. Let us know how we're doing on the show. It helps us get in front of a great number of additional people that are interested in talking SEO as well as other things, and maybe listening to Morty along the way, right?
What should we talk about now, since we're 44 minutes in and people are still here? So
let's talk about
it. What do you think about lounge chairs? I don't like lounge chairs.
I love lounge chairs.
They're so awkward. They're velvety and awkward.
No, but I mean, if you really get that good tacky lounge chair that you can actually kind of peel your skin off the seat with, right? No?
No.
Especially the ones that are right next to the window. I mean, it's kind of like you're driving in the car, and you know that leather seat just kind of peels you off. You can get that in a lounge chair. You really can.
I don't get that anymore, the new leather seats. You know, I used to back in the day, my grandfather's car. So yeah, it used to really like stick to you. It doesn't stick the same way.
It doesn't. It's pleather now. It's all that vegan leather now. You don't have that excruciating pain. Darn it.
It's weird.
Thanks. They're just ruining the world for us. All right. Get off my SERP. All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Don't be a piece of cyber driftwood either. Bye.
Ah, you screwed up your own ending.
We do have pieces. We do have cyberdriftwood.com, by the way.
Do you really?
We do. A listener actually said, hey, guess what? This is available. Cha-ching. All right. Let's go get it. We got to do that on Linux too, don't we?
Yes.
Are you still here, listener? Are you still here? Just, the show's over. Come on. Go on.
Don't be a piece of cyber driftwood. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Had a Ferris Bueller that one.